Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. At this moment, the number of unemployed North Carolinians stands at over 450,000. They are part of the 10 million people nationwide thrown out of work by the COVID-19 outbreak. By the end of this week, it could be as many as 16 million people. We went from a booming economy with nearly full employment to a near complete shutdown of the economy with record high unemployment overnight. Many of those who find themselves out of work have never been in that position before. The speed with which this has happened, coupled with an unfamiliarity on how to come to grips with the situation and how to navigate an overburdened and unfamiliar unemployment system, has left people frustrated, angry, and bewildered. So this hour, we will try to clear some of that up. Daniel Frazier is president and CEO of Charlotte Works. That's the Workforce Development Board of Mecklenburg County, which helps connect job seekers to employers and provides skills training. Good morning to you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Actually, thank you for being there, because none of us are here except for me. And Chuck Monteith is an attorney at Monteith Law and former deputy chief counsel for North Carolina's Department of Employment Security. Chuck, thank you for being with us as well.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
If you'd like to join our conversation, you can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org, get to us through Facebook at WFAE, or through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. Let's start with getting a clearer picture of what is happening on the ground here in North Carolina as this enormous number of people are suddenly unemployed and looking for a job. Danielle, at first, the Department of Employment Security website kept crashing, or at least denying service as people tried to connect because the server just couldn't handle the number of people trying to get in. And the same thing was true of the telephone. People could not get them on the phone. So clearly systems were not designed to handle this many people all trying to find a job or apply for unemployment at the same time. Is that still going on, or has that been fixed?
Well, that's our partners at Deployment, Department of Employment Security, and we work very closely with them, although we oversee the NC Works Career Centers, where we do most of the work that you just shared and helping individuals with credentials and the skills to get employment and sustainable employment. However, that has been a challenge, and we do know that. I think that it is still happening. I'm still hearing stories about that, but I know DES is working quickly to get that resolved by expanding support, so hiring additional employees and using some of the Career Center staff to assist with some of those phone calls. And I think that they're doing some things as far as technology-wise with the website and helping to expand bandwidth as well as other options to such as chat functions and other things to help assist.
Chuck, for those who have never filed for unemployment, is filing through the State Department of Employment Security the only way you can do it, or can you go to county offices? Can you go elsewhere? Do you have to go through North Carolina?
You have to go through the North Carolina Department of Employment Security. You file your claims either online or by phone. Hopefully, I've heard discussions that they're looking into allowing employers to file what are called attached claims for certain individuals, and they can file for groups, and that might help speed things up. But that's not in play yet.
So you can't find an employment security office and go and be there in person. You must do it on the phone or online. Is that right? That's what I heard you say.
That's correct.
If you can't get through on the website, if you can get through on the website, what is the process? What information do you have to have at your fingertips? What do they want to know from you?
They're going to want to know, obviously, your Social Security number, the last employer with whom you worked, the approximate period of time that you worked there, when you last were paid, your last day of work. Basic information like that. And that's information that will allow them to contact your last employer to verify the information you give them.
So the process, the online or telephone process, takes about how long?
Maybe a half an hour under best circumstances. It just depends on the individual and how complicated their work history is.
And once you've completed the process, either online or on phone, how long does it take for them to do whatever they have to do in the back office to determine that you're eligible and send you that first unemployment check?
So when you file your claim, they have to contact your last employer to verify that you worked for them and find out the reason for your separation from employment. And the employers, by law, have 10 days to respond. And then after the employer responds, the benefits can be freed up if it's clear that there's no issue as to your eligibility. So I would say 2 to 3 weeks before you see a check.
There are so many people applying right now for unemployment in North Carolina and around the country, but right now in North Carolina, that it seems to me this is going to take an enormous amount of work at the Employment Security Department to figure out who's eligible and to make sure that all the ducks are in a row before those first checks go out. I know, Chuck, you worked as an attorney for them for a long time, and part of your job was to help determine whether people were going to get benefits. Will the large increase in the number of people applying limit or increase the chances of people getting help and getting a check through the unemployment department?
I think it's going to increase the chances now because when you file, one of the questions you ask is, are you unemployed due to COVID-19? And if you say yes and your former employer says yes, answers yes to that, then everything's expedited. You can move more quickly.
So as I understand this, Danielle, under normal circumstances, not everyone is eligible for unemployment, even if their job ended. What's been brushed aside for this pandemic? How have things changed?
For us, we've seen an uptick through our two NC Works career centers of over 135% of individuals. We're still serving virtually, so we shut our centers down temporarily to the public about 3 weeks ago, and so the phones have been ringing off the hook. People are calling, of course, asking about unemployment assistance, how to apply, asking about how to be connected with jobs, and as well as food. And so our team is helping to connect them to the resources that they need. We're seeing, as you all know, getting layoff notices daily in the hospitality industry, food service, mostly those positions that are not essential or that you can work remote or that they can continue on during this crisis. But we're seeing an uptick in positions with distribution centers, with some retail, some grocery, and others to help with the need. Pretty much those that are the first responders as well. So as you can imagine, there's some healthcare workers that are in demand right now too. So
are there people who might not normally receive unemployment benefits having lost a job for whatever reason, who may get them now because they were laid off due to this virus? Danielle.
Yeah, I think that there are some people that are independent contractors, that also those that are entrepreneurs. I'll let Chuck speak a little bit more maybe on the legal side of things, but there are individuals that will be able to receive unemployment, mostly those independent contractors. Again, the entrepreneurs such as maybe cosmetology, barbers, and others that may not have reportable wages, but that can show that they've been working and that they've been downsized or they've been that they don't have work because of COVID.
You want to add to that, Chuck?
Yes. Individuals who are in non-covered employment or they're self-employed or even if they have an insufficient work history or insufficient wages should be able to qualify for, if they're unemployed now due to the pandemic, for pandemic unemployment assistance, PUA. And that would allow them to receive up to $600 a week in benefits through the end of the year.
Are there people who are not going to be eligible?
If you're unemployed due to COVID-19, you should be eligible. I'd say the vast majority of those people will be eligible. If you're unemployed for other reasons, then there's always a chance you'll be disqualified or ineligible, depending on why you lost your job.
We have people who have technically lost their jobs, have been let go. And then we have people who have who are being referred to as having been furloughed. I think a lot of department store employees have been furloughed. I think I read this morning that a lot of employees at the YMCAs around town have been furloughed. Is there a difference when the employment security people look at this for between somebody who doesn't have a job because they've lost their job versus being furloughed, or is it the same?
It's essentially the same. In my view, okay, a furlough is just like a temporary layoff. They say we don't have enough work for you now. We're going to hold on, keep you attached to our payroll, but you're not going to work. You're not going to have any earnings. And individuals like that have always been able to receive unemployment benefits.
Do you think, Danielle, have we reached the zenith of this? I mean, the apex of this? Are we going to see a surge of more people being laid off in the next couple of weeks or months, or have we reached the top?
I don't think that we've reached the top yet. I don't know what that number is and what it looks like, but I don't think that we've reached the top. Again, I receive daily notices on businesses that are temporarily laying off or that they're permanently closing. And I think that this has been somewhat of a trickle effect. I think businesses in the beginning were very optimistic, should still be optimistic, but I think they were optimistic to think maybe it's a few weeks, maybe it's a month, and they were trying to hold on to their employees as much as possible and as long as possible. And I think the longer that we are a stay at home, which is necessary, that businesses are starting to realize that they need to either temporarily lay off or permanently close. But I will say the majority of the layoff notices that I've received are furloughs, and it's retail, it's food industry, hospitality, and many of those, if not all, will go back to work. But to answer your question, I don't think that we've reached that point yet. There will be more to the number, not sure yet.
Your job at Charlotte Works and Charlotte Works' job is to connect people seeking jobs with employers. Are there any employers seeking employees at the moment?
Absolutely. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do as well. Is many of these individuals, again, they're being impacted for hospitality, food service, trying to connect those individuals that have those transferable skills to the companies that are hiring right now. You've got Walmart, you've got QT, you've got most of the grocery stores that are hiring right now, again, in healthcare, and so with Atrium and Novant. So we're trying to make those connections now with the businesses to see what their needs are and where their demand is, and connecting those individuals that are calling into our centers looking for work.
So what kinds of jobs are these? And would you be wiser to take a job that doesn't really fit your resume because it's available versus taking unemployment?
Well, you know, that's an individual decision. And I think that people have to look at, what works for them financially. The jobs that are available right now, they're some of them are entry level to mid level employment. So you grocery store workers, the demand there, distribution centers, delivery drivers, even cab drivers right now because of the delivery of goods and services has increased, and even people, as well as again in some retail. But I think that's an individual decision. However, we know unemployment doesn't last forever. And so we are encouraging our job seekers to, if they can get employment that aligns with your skill set or meets your need right now, please take that. And then we continue to work with our job seekers to help them along the way and to continue to move them along their industry or their occupations of interest.
I have 20 seconds. If you have to apply for jobs while you're on unemployment, so if you apply for a job such as one you're talking about with a grocery store and it really doesn't fit your resume, do you have to take it if it's offered to you in order to keep your unemployment intact? Very quick.
I'll let Chuck answer that question.
Then we'll have to wait, and when we come back, we'll also get the 30,000-foot look at this from Philip Bump with the Washington Post. Stay with us at Charlotte Talks.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Danielle Frazier's with us. She's the president and CEO of Charlotte Works. Chuck Monteith is an attorney with Monteith Law and a former deputy chief counsel for the North Carolina Department of Employment Security. We're talking, obviously, about unemployment in the time of the COVID virus and what to do about it, the coronavirus and what to do about it. Before we go and meet Philip Bump from the Washington Post, Chuck, I want to get an answer to the question I just asked Danielle that she tossed off to you before the break, and that is, if you find a job, because you have to look for a job while you're on unemployment, if you find a job and it doesn't really suit your skill set, but you've been offered the job, must you take it to keep your unemployment intact?
Okay, so first of all, with respect to if you're unemployed due to COVID-19, they've relaxed the work search requirement.
Okay.
Number one, so you don't have to look for work like you would normally. Under normal circumstances, if you are offered a job and refuse it, the question becomes whether the job was suitable for you. And if it was suitable for you and you turn it down, then that could stop your unemployment benefits. But I just don't think we're going to see a lot of that in the current situation. Most people are going to say they're unemployed due to COVID-19. There's not going to be a lot of job offers made to individuals anyway. So I don't think that'll be a major factor.
Okay. This is happening not just in North Carolina or in Charlotte. It's happening all over the country. And Philip Bump is the national correspondent for the Washington Post, who covers the numbers behind politics and who's been looking into the surge in unemployment numbers with the advent of this virus. So let's bring him into this conversation. You look pretty relaxed, Philip. Welcome to the program.
Hey, that's because I'm sitting in my son's bedroom. It's a very relaxing place. Yes, sir.
So there are nearly 500,000 people out of a job in North Carolina, and I think 10 million in the country. We're going to get new unemployment numbers. They're liable to go up almost more double that. How does our number, 500,000, compare with other states around the country?
Well, I mean, obviously, as a function of population, it's fairly comparable. I mean, one of the things that we're seeing here that's pretty remarkable, there was a really great analysis actually in the New York Times last week, which looked at how the current spike in unemployment compares not really to the Great Recession of a decade ago, but instead to something like a hurricane, like when Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana in 2005. We're seeing the same sort of sudden surge and shift in economic patterns that we see in response to a natural disaster, which, of course, makes sense. This is, to a large extent, a natural disaster that's occurring across the country. And as such, we're seeing those sort of spikes everywhere at once. Obviously, there are places like New York and New Jersey, which are harder hit with the virus itself. But because there has been this widespread implementation of these efforts to contain the virus, we're seeing the same sort of economic impacts affecting states across the country, even if they don't have many cases yet.
So in times of these natural disasters that we think of as natural disasters, hurricanes, floods, et cetera, when all employment stops for a period, does it generally come back quickly or does it take a long time?
Well, it's sort of a long tail sort of thing, right? So, I mean, there certainly is, once you are able to sort of restart the economy, it is the case that the economy, for the most part, can start back up. But then there are always sort of a smaller number of businesses, of economic activity that takes a lot longer to actually restart. I'm always reminded of this. After Hurricane Sandy struck the New York area in 2012, I went out to Staten Island and interviewed people, and I went back in 2017. And on Staten Island, even then, 5 years after the hurricane had hit, there were still businesses that were closed. There were still shops that were trying to start back up. You see this happen because, you know, it's going to be very hard. Obviously, we're going to see a lot of restaurants closing, a lot of bars closing, a lot of retail establishments closing, especially mom and pop shops. It's going to take a while before something refills that space. It's going to take a while before people can figure out if they're going to be able to reopen those businesses, if at all possible. And that's going to take a long time, even if we see the bulk of economic activity start back up fairly quickly.
I want to get back to our numbers because something called Wallet Hub, I'd never heard of them before yesterday, but Wallet Hub, they were reported on in the Charlotte Business Journal. They say that North Carolina ranks second out of 50 states in seeing the largest unemployment increases. Louisiana is first. Our unemployment rate is up 4,771% from January to March of this year and 6,064.54% since the same time last year. Do you have any insight on why our numbers are so high? We like ranking first or second in North Carolina, but not in this case.
Usually,
why are our numbers so high?
That's a good question. Honestly, I can't answer without seeing all of the data. I mean, we do know, for example, that states like Nevada, when we saw the official unemployment numbers come out last week, which obviously were only representing part of the month of March and are going to spike upward, we saw that states like New York and Nevada, which have a lot of retail activity, a lot of entertainment-based activity, places like that seem to have been harder hit than other places were. I'm not sure why North Carolina and Louisiana will be at the top of the list at this point, but you know, we'll see once the official numbers come out.
So nationally, the number's at 10 million, and I read this morning that it's liable to go to 16 million by the beginning of next week when new numbers come out. It's been described as an historic number. Is it historic in terms of what things were like in the Great Depression, or historic in terms of what things were like in the Great Recession, or historic in terms of the quickness that it all occurred in, how it just happened overnight?
Right. So what we're talking about here is we're talking about initial unemployment claims, which are essentially this sort of activity that we were talking about the earlier part of the program, people who are suddenly are unemployed and go out and actually seek unemployment. Now, it's important to remember that those initial claims don't actually capture everyone who's out of work. There are people who may not understand that they're eligible for unemployment. There may be people who've been limited. A lot of states are having problems processing, as we're just discussing, processing the number of new unemployment claims. And some people aren't actually able to file the claims because the systems are simply overwhelmed. We don't actually have data on that metric that goes back to the Great Depression. It is the case, though, that comparable to the Great Recession, we're seeing a very, very quick and immediate spike upward. The Great Recession was a sort of slower buildup to the number of unemployment claims over time. The spike we've seen recently, I mean, you've probably seen the graphics. It basically looks like an L-shaped bracket. It goes straight upward. We've simply never seen the same number of claims over such a short period of time, again, because this is something that's striking everywhere at once.
And you wrote in the Post, I think it was last week or very recently, that the real rate is probably 10% higher than at the peak of the recession a decade ago. Are these numbers likely to continue to get worse? Could they improve as rapidly as they got worse? Will we see a deep dive to the bottom once this is all over?
Well, that's really the question. That's really the question that's sort of at the heart of how the White House in particular is approaching the moment, right? So President Trump has said repeatedly that he wants to reopen the economy as soon as possible, but he recognizes, and his experts are advising him, A, that may not be very quickly, and B, that we may not be able to do it everywhere at once in the way that President Trump would seem to want to hope. I mean, it is clearly the case that as new hotspots emerge, we may have to go back into containment restrictions and so on and so forth, that places like New York, where I live, are not going to be able to reopen as quickly simply because of the scale of the epidemic that has struck here. And as such, we will probably not going to see a V shape the way that the president would like to, simply because it's going to take a while. You know, there may be places like, you know, rural Nebraska where businesses can reopen simply because there are no cases there and we have tracking measures in place to actually make sure that they aren't affected, but places that are major cities that suddenly see an outburst or an outbreak of the virus may take longer to reopen. Because of the way the virus works and our limits in our ability to track it at this point in time, it's hard to imagine that we're very quickly going to be able to turn everything back on.
Yeah, and it would seem to me that there are some industries that cater to large groups of people, concert venues and theaters and even restaurants, who may want to get back to business as usual, but their customers may be a little leery of sitting next to strangers in a crowded room. Are people talking about that to you?
Well, that's true. I haven't spoken with any restaurateurs who can speak specifically to that. But it is also the case that it may be that business activity is more limited. Restaurants, for example, may have to have social distancing measures. They may have to separate their tables by, you know, 6 feet, which means they can only take one third of the customers they used to. And that, of course, will constrain economic activity in a different way. It remains to be seen. I mean, obviously, we're not close to being able to do that yet, simply because we don't have the ability to track and test and know where the virus is, and therefore where we can let people go back to relative normal in terms of economic activity.
As business begins to come back and as employees begin to return to work, are employers likely to bring back the people they laid off, or will this be an opportunity to cull the herd, so to speak?
I mean, it's a great question. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of transition between jobs. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think that probably a lot of employers are going to do their best to very quickly get up to speed and will take whoever they can get. I mean, again, it's almost hard for me sitting here at this point in time to even imagine what the restart of the economy looks like, because it is that distant from where we are. And there are so many check boxes that we need to check before we get there, that concerns like that. I look forward to the day when we're trying to figure out who exactly is being hired, because right now it doesn't seem like that's happening over the short term.
Philip Bump covers the numbers behind the politics, among other things, for the Washington Post. He's with us along with Chuck Monteith, with Monteith Law, and a former counsel at the North Carolina Department of Employment Security, and Daniel Frazier with Charlotte Works. She's the president and CEO there. Chuck, North Carolina approved nearly $30 million in unemployment benefits for those who have lost jobs because of the coronavirus. We have 500,000 people out of work, probably more than that. With an average of 21,000 people filing every day of the last 3 weeks since the closures began. There is more federal money up on the way to be added to North Carolina's pot of money, but how long can this money last, Chuck?
Okay, so you have the regular unemployment compensation in North Carolina is $350 a week, maximum of $350 a week for 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. And as part of the federal pandemic unemployment compensation, you get $600 additional dollars per week from March 29th up through July 31st. After that, if you're still unemployed, you have pandemic emergency unemployment compensation kicking in for an additional 13 weeks. At the same amounts I described before. And then if you exhaust that, we're still not up to the end of the year, you can move on to pandemic unemployment assistance, which lasts through December 31st of this year.
So it will be more money than you would normally get with a lot of the restrictions that are generally attached to receiving an unemployment check waived, at least for a while. But there are those who say that although we appear to be reaching a plateau on the spread of this disease, it could come back. It may not be affected by warm weather like the flu is, and it could come back in the fall. And other people have said that this thing could go on for at least 18 months, given the fact that we do not have a virus and until a vaccine. And until we have a vaccine, we don't know what's going to happen with this. We don't know how long immunity lasts once you get this. There are a lot of unknowns here. So how long can either the federal government or the state government keep this up if they need to keep it up?
I think the federal government can keep it up past the end of the year. The state trust fund to pay unemployment benefits, I think the last I checked, the amount in that trust fund was $3.85 billion. So there's money there. It just depends on if the number of claims keep increasing. I think you said before, this is what I've heard too, that during the last 3 weeks, there were 450,000 people filed new initial claims in North Carolina. To compare that with the Great Recession, which lasted roughly 18 months, they only had 100,000 new claims during that 18-month period. North Carolina's had 450,000 the last 3 weeks.
In addition to unemployment, Philip, Congress approved, I think it's around $1,200 a person. It depends on how much money you make, whether you're married, whether you're head of household, whether you're single. It's between $1,200 for a single person, a little less, $2,400 for a married couple. And if you have a direct deposit with the IRS, it will go in automatically very quickly. But if they have to write you a check, it may take 5 or 6 weeks. What's the point of that money? Is that money going to be helpful to people? Because it won't pay rent in New York City. It won't pay rent here for most people.
Right. $1,200 is going to be helpful to some extent, right? I don't think any of us would turn down $1,200 regardless. But
it's tax-free $1,200 too. You don't have to pay taxes on it, correct?
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah, that's my understanding. Right. The point is this. The government wants to do everything in its power to allow people to not have to go to work if their job isn't necessary, right? I mean, the entire point here, again, is trying to contain the extent to which this virus spreads and therefore both limit the number of people who need to use resources at a hospital and, of course, save lives, right? So the government is trying to incentivize people to not have to go out and interact with other people if their job doesn't demand that they do so. And as such, they're trying to give people money that they would otherwise be able to earn by doing the work that they were doing and or just have more money in their pocket if their work has been constrained in some way. So that's sort of the idea. $1,200, you're right, doesn't really get us to that point. There are some countries like the United Kingdom, I believe, has sort of done a blanket. You're going to get 80% of your salary until this thing is over, right? I mean, they've just sort of done, we're going to basically take care of your work needs. I may have that figure wrong, but there are ways in which other countries have been more deliberate about reinforcing the idea that what the idea is to make it so that people don't have to go to work if they don't need to go to work. Because again, the effort is, the idea is to contain this. Again, $1,200 may not be enough to do that. $2,400 for a couple may not be enough to do that. It is, however, of course, better than nothing.
And Chuck mentioned a minute ago the additional unemployment benefits being approved by Congress, $600, I think, a week for up to 4 months. Who will be eligible for that money? And you have to apply for that through your states. The states will just add on that money to your check. Is that correct, Philip?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I mean, you know, I think one of the things that's interesting here, too, is to contrast that approach, the give people the unemployment in case they lose their job, with the approach that we've seen in some other countries. So, again, you know, there are countries which are basically saying employers, hold all of your employees in place and we're going to make sure that they get their salaries paid so that when we are able to restart, you flip the switch, your employees go back to the same jobs they had and they know what's going on. The United States approach is different than that. The United States approach is employers are going to do what they need to do. And, you know, if people get fired, then we're going to make sure those people who are fired are taken care of. But it makes it harder then to reflip that switch in that moment when we can actually start flipping.
So the federal government, Chuck, is giving this money, the $600, to those already receiving state unemployment benefits and people who received state benefits that have exhausted those benefits, and people who don't qualify for state benefits because they were self-employed or worked part-time or fit into other categories. And Fred on Twitter has a question about just that. He says, what about gig workers who stopped working for fear of exposure to COVID-infected customers? They weren't specifically laid off. They just don't have any income coming in. Are they covered in some way by any of this?
I think they should be, yeah.
Should and are two different things. Are they covered or do you not know?
I don't know right now. I believe that the Department of or the Division of Employment Security is going to pay benefits to the largest amount of people that they can pay to and still comply with the law. And I think those individuals will be, but can I guarantee you they will be? No, I can't.
And Jerry emails us, I'm a real estate agent, the sole proprietor working within my LLC. My business has died. Should I file for unemployment or a loan under the government's new loan program for small businesses? I don't know which one of you should answer that question, but you only have 30 seconds.
I don't know about the loan program, but that person definitely could file for pandemic unemployment assistance.
Okay. We have to take a break. When we come back, more of our conversation with Daniel Frazier, President and CEO of Charlotte Works, Chuck Monteith with Monteith Law, and formerly with the North Carolina Department of Employment Security, and Philip Bump with the Washington Post. And we'll also hear from a young person who was laid off as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. We're coming right back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the unemployment situation in North Carolina and around the country. We'll get back to our panel in a moment. A couple of weeks ago, as stay-at-home orders were first issued and bars and restaurants and nail and hair salons and other things were closing, we spoke to a hairstylist about what she was facing as her business and her income evaporated. There are thousands of people, obviously, in her position, and now that these closures have been going on for a couple of weeks, we wanted to check in with somebody who has been impacted by all of this. Tony Sulva was a member of the front of house staff at Volani's Bakery in Plaza Midwood, who now finds himself out of a job. Tony, thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you.
We wanted to get a first person picture of what this experience has been like for you. First of all, when were you laid off?
I wouldn't consider myself laid off, but we just had to make the unfortunate decision to close. Right. I am still, you know, going to be working there in the future, but we did have to close late March. I believe it was March 22nd, that Sunday. And, you know, we made the decision to take the moral high ground and close because we didn't want to take any part of the what was going on, you know, making sure everyone stayed at home.
Right. I know you're not the owner, but how long can the owner have a business to come back to and bring you back into the fold if this goes on for months and months and months?
That's a great question. So we've been open in Plaza Midwood for it would be in 2 years in April, and so luckily they developed a really wide customer base, and we were just starting to be really popular and really really familiar with the neighborhood. So I know that people are definitely going to flock back, and even the last day we were working, we saw an influx of people and line out the door to make sure they got their bakery goods. So I don't have any doubt in my mind that we're going to come back as strong as possible.
So have you applied for unemployment?
I have, yeah.
And what was that process like? We've heard these horror stories of people having trouble accessing the web, and I believe that you were one of those people, because I think I was sent a screenshot from your computer with a message saying that essentially the website can't be reached at this moment. And that was your computer, right?
Yeah, that's true. I fortunately was able to file for unemployment, but after a few days of reading that same message across the screen, because I've been hearing so many other North Carolinians, you know, having the same exact problems, unable to go online and apply. So I was lucky and was able to get on, but over a matter of days having to try and attempt.
So how long ago was that?
I applied, I think, the same week that I left work. So it was late March as well, I think March 29th.
And it's my understanding that you are still pending. Your check is still pending. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. I check it every day. It's still pending.
So it's been, what, 4 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks?
It's been about, 2 weeks, I would say. You're going under 2 weeks now.
Do you have any idea that when the pending status is when they accept you and they send you the check, is it in arrears? Do they send you the money from the time you applied? Do you know?
I don't know. Unfortunately, okay. There hasn't been a lot of great communication.
So what was the process of filling out the forms online? Once you got through and you finally got the website up and working for you, what was it like? Was it an easy process? Or did you bang your head against the wall a lot?
Yeah, luckily I've saved all my tax documents because I previously applied the month before, so it was easy to navigate the website with the information I had. But it's all about being truthful, and I was able to go on and say, I had to, I was forced to leave my job because of this pandemic, and so I was truthful and gave as best information I could, and it was a pretty long process, but it's very easy to navigate once you're on and once your computer starts working.
I suppose there's cold comfort in the knowledge that there are hundreds of thousands, actually millions of people in exactly the same position that you're in, but you still have bills to pay. You have the light bill, the rent bill, etc. to pay. Unemployment is not designed to replace your income forever, and it probably won't cover your bills when you get it, will it?
No, yeah, it definitely won't. And that's something I've been, talking with my family, my girlfriend about, and just trying to keep our finances in order. So it's really kind of just the penny pinching right now, making sure we're cooking all the time at home, keeping as many, dollars that we've saved over the time of working to make sure that it goes to our necessities.
It has been
tough. Yeah.
My next question was going to be, were you able to put money aside for a rainy day? Because the rainy day is here when you were working.
Yeah, I've always tried to have a system or at least a sum of money that I could feel comfortable if ever something like this happened. And so I'm very lucky, but I know not a lot of Americans do have that savings to fall back on. So I'm thankful that I was able to apply for unemployment, but I know that it definitely would be a lot more helpful, hopefully, to other North Carolinians as well down the road.
You sound like it's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying I'm fortunate to have the ability to have saved. So I do feel very lucky.
You sound like a young person, and they say that there are events in people's lives that are so dramatic that it shapes their lives for the rest of their life into the future. What do you think the impact of this will be on you and how you approach money, how you approach saving money, spending money. What do you think going forward?
I think that's an excellent question. I just moved to Charlotte in August, and I was very optimistic to start a new career here and work at the bakery. And it almost, put a hindrance on making friends and making relationships in the city. And I think it's going to have a drastic impact on, the future of my life. When am I going to go through these life events, getting married, having kids? I think not having the financial independence right now because of coronavirus is going to have a big impact. Wow. And but I'm optimistic, as I always am, and hopefully down the road people will understand that Americans need income, and we need some kind of social net to help those who are most affected in this time of need. So I think people taking advantage of social distancing and making sure to only go out for essentials is important. And I think that people are really going to make sure that they don't take things for granted in the future in terms of connecting with people and also having that financial support and stability.
Tony, our thoughts are with you. I'm really sorry that you find yourself in this situation, and I hope that you come out of it very, very quickly, as everybody comes out of this very, very quickly. But our thoughts are with you, and I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts with us on Charlotte Talks this morning.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it.
You're welcome. Tony Silva, former and soon to be, again, front of house staff at Villani's Bakery in Plaza Midwood. Philip Bump is with us from the Washington Post. Most of the job losses have occurred around the country in the hospitality industry, hotel, motels, restaurants, etc. If the job numbers, the unemployment numbers go up, what other sectors, because they've pretty much tapped out the hospitality industry, what other sectors might be laying off people that haven't done so already?
Yeah, I would say that actually the first wave, the bulk of the, I don't even know if the bulk, but a large percentage of the first wave of layoffs that were reflected in the official jobs numbers that came out last Friday were in fact from leisure and entertainment based industries. I think we're seeing very broad effects here. We're seeing limits in construction. We're seeing limits in manufacturing. Essentially, anything which isn't a job that is relatively luxurious like our own, which we get to sit in our homes and do what we do. Anyone that has to go somewhere, essentially, and who isn't a police officer or a firefighter or someone who works for a hospital, someone that does delivery services, those are the sorts of jobs. I mean, and that is the bulk of Americans, people who have their own businesses, small businesses. Unless you can work from home, all people are going to be affected. And so, I mean, it's sort of hard to say what's next because everyone's next. Everyone is, and it's not even that everyone's next. Everyone's already experiencing these effects and have been for weeks. And, this is why we're seeing this massive spike in unemployment, simply because this is hitting everywhere at once, all over the place. Mm.
Danielle, I think the average unemployment check in North Carolina is $264 a week for 2 months. I know that's been changed a little bit because of this COVID pandemic, and it will be augmented by the federal government's additional money pouring in. But reforms in the state in 2013 capped the total amount at $350 a week for 12 weeks. It's still one of the lowest payouts in the nation. Why did we go in that direction? Why did we? Why are we so low on the totem pole when it comes to paying out unemployment benefits in North Carolina?
Well, I think that there was and Chuck can probably chime in too, but I think that we were in a deficit years ago as far as our unemployment insurance trust was. I think that we had received some federal support to pay unemployment, and I believe that account went in negative, and we had to do decisions were made to, I think, build that, first of all, pay that deficit and build that account back up and get it into to the positive.
And Chuck, the money that's coming in from the federal government, there's a process attached to it. And evidently, the process, the rules for distributing that money were not made clear until this past Sunday. And State Representative Chris Humphrey, a Republican from Eastern North Carolina, said he would like to get that money and that system up and running in 2 weeks. Given the huge amount of paperwork that has to be done, even in normal times, with all these extra people applying for unemployment, and the fact that the government did not publish their rules for the distribution of the additional money coming from the federal government. Is that a realistic goal, 2 weeks? Can this money be put into the system that quickly?
I've been told that the Division of Employment Security hopes to start paying the pandemic emergency compensation next week. That's the extra $600. And then the PUA, the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, they think is maybe 3 weeks out. You know, when someone tells you or tells them that they're unemployed because they had to close their business, they were self-employed, the state has to attempt to verify that this person actually was self-employed before they released the benefits.
And Politico reported last week, Philip, that Democrats are unhappy with the rules that came out on Sunday with regard to this extra money coming into the states for unemployment, which would extend unemployment benefits to 39 weeks. Why are Democrats unhappy?
Well, I think there's a broad sense of discontent with the way in which this has been approached by the White House in particular among Democrats. I mean, obviously, that's not surprising given the partisan politics here. But fundamentally, the Democrats are seeking a broader effort to try and make sure that people have this backstop who have been affected by the coronavirus. Well, at the same time, the White House and Republicans are looking more toward, okay, well, how do we make sure that we are not making decisions now which affect how the economy is able to restart once it actually gets going again? And I think this sort of gets to your point about why North Carolina is, you know, has a lower level of unemployment than do other states. I think a lot of these questions, as we move forward, one of the big things that we're going to see is how this pandemic affects the way the political conversation moves forward. I mean, obviously, I write about politics all the time, so perhaps I'm looking at this through the lens that I always look at everything. But I think it's going to be fascinating. I mean, the question to the young man who was furloughed from his job at the bakery is, you know, how does that affect his politics moving forward? How does he look at his political decisions? Knowing, well, when I was, you know, working that bakery back in 2020, I remember this thing happened. What decisions am I making? Who am I voting for in a way that actually makes sure that we have a backstop against these things moving forward? I think that it's going to be fascinating to see how the politics emerges from this, because this is the sort of thing for which we would assume the federal government would be ready and prepared and jump right in. And I think a lot of Americans are questioning whether or not it was.
Well, Tony specifically mentioned the need for a social security net. I forgot exactly the words that he used. Daniel, I think you can answer this question. If not, I'll toss it off to Chuck. I'm wondering about people like landlords, not these people who run these enormous apartment buildings, but people who have a house to rent or maybe a duplex to rent, and they're being asked not to evict people, and I think they've been told they can't under these circumstances when people can't pay their rent during this pandemic. They have mortgages to pay. That is sometimes their source of income. Are they qualified for unemployment if their renters aren't paying?
Well, I don't think they're going to qualify for unemployment based on not receiving rental payments. However, I think that mortgage companies are working across the board now with homeowners when they're running into the situation, whether they own or whether they are renting.
But what if that's your source of income? You have three or four rental units, and that's your income, and you've already paid their units off. You don't have a mortgage. That your income is gone because the renters aren't paying. They're not qualified?
Well, I'm not sure if they're going to qualify, only because their wages aren't really reportable wages in that sense. Chuck may have to answer that particular question. That's out of my scope.
Chuck, we have 30 seconds.
So it depends. If you can establish that being a landlord constitutes your version of self-employment, this is how you make your living, then I think there's an argument that can be made that these people should be eligible for the pandemic unemployment assistance, which goes to self-employed individuals, independent contractors, gig workers, and the like.
I wish I had time, Philip, to talk to you more about the future of politics and our healthcare views going forward, and our Andrew Yang's guaranteed income, because that he got out of the race at the wrong time. But we don't have time. Philip Bump with the Washington Post, Chuck Monteith with Monteith Law, and formerly with the North Carolina Department of Employment Security, and Daniel Frazier, President and CEO of Charlotte Works. Thank you all for the hour, and stay safe.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.